Well, this morning, as we continue with the idea that this year is just beginning, we are still in the first month of 2011. But a funny thing about this month is that it is quickly drawing to a close, just like last month did, just like last year did. We're going to be sitting here in about 11 months and thinking, where did 2011 go? What in the world happened? I thought I was cleaning up Christmas decorations. I was celebrating a new year. I couldn't figure, I was putting 2010 on my checks for a couple of months, trying to figure that whole thing out. And next thing you know, it's 2012. So we're thinking about the fact that it just keeps on happening. And so what are we going to do in the meantime? What are we going to do so that when 2011 is quickly drawn to a close, we won't sit back and think, how did that go by? What did I accomplish? We're going to know what we accomplished because we've got this ministry that God is trying to get done through us. And so for the first couple of sermons, the first couple of Sundays in this year, we've been talking about the ministry that God wants to do within each one of us, that what He wants to accomplish in our lives. And so today we're going to continue with that, with maturing towards ministry. And if you've got the order of worship, you can turn on the back and it's going to have some of the points that I'm going to get to in just a minute. But if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This is going to be kind of the text that we begin with, and it's going to be the jumping off point for us to begin and to get this idea about, it's one thing for us to say, I want to do something in the kingdom of God. I want to accomplish something in God's kingdom, in God's name. I believe you, Shane. I believe what you're saying is the truth, that God has this plan for my life. He's got this ministry that He's birthing within me, and I want to get that done. I really do. But see, there's this process that kind of bogs things down in the meantime. It's one thing to know that God is active and living and doing something and wanting to do something through us. It's something, and it's another thing to think, yes, there are things that I want to do, and there's a ministry that I feel equipped to accomplish. There's a ministry that I feel loved towards. You see, that's one thing, and it's a whole another thing to mature towards that ministry. It's a whole nother thing to be maturing in our relationship with God so that ministry really does happen through each one of us. Now, remember, Hebrews tells us we are a kingdom of priests. I am not the only one in this room that is required by God to complete ministry. It is my job title. It is my vocation. It's what I do for a living. But I'm not the only one responsible for completing ministry. We all are. We've established that. So God, what do you want me to do? What are my likes? What are my dislikes? What am I good at? What am I not good at? I want to complete ministry, but now we have to mature toward ministry. Because it's only immature Christians who complete nothing. It's only immature Christians who, if wanting to were good enough, then we would all be completing ministry on a date. We would all be doing what God wants us to do. But you see, there's this problem that gets in the way, and it's called life. And within that life, there are these things that are called discomforts. And they get in the way, and they derail us, and they make it toward that we choose other things besides ministry. You see, if I could choose for a Tuesday to be comfortable or uncomfortable, to be relatively uneventful or relatively eventful, what would you choose? Comfort or discomfort? Well, we'd probably choose comfort.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not going to on purpose choose to be uncomfortable and inconvenienced. If we could say, okay, this coming Tuesday is going to be a normal day of expenses in my life and in my finances, or this coming Tuesday is going to be one that is going to cause me to have to rearrange my whole budget for the month because of my ministry, which one are you going to choose?
You see, we're probably going to choose the one where it's just kind of easy. See, that's what happens. So we want to. We know that God's, He wants, but then when the ministry opportunities come along, unless we are mature enough to handle it, unless we are mature enough to choose it, unless we are mature enough to take on what it's going to mean to take it on, we'll choose otherwise and ministry doesn't happen. Because you see, there was a day some 2,000 years ago when a man was affixed to a cross. And he was suspended between heaven and earth. And in a moment of extreme discomfort, because of his own choosing, more ministry happened in that one day when the Bible says that with a loud voice he cried out. More ministry happened on that day by a man choosing to be uncomfortable than anything we could ever imagine in our lives. Now, are we maturing toward that very same moment or moments? Or is it too easy to just choose to continue along the path of comfort? In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this. We're going to get to verse 13, but in verse 10 it says, or verse 11, it was He who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, we can want to do things on a ministry level. We can want to impact the world, but until we mature to the whole fullness of Christ, we won't be able. We won't be able to choose that. So the goal is to choose to walk towards God, to become more and more mature. Now, the problem that we have to ask ourselves is this. Are you a Peter Pan Christian? Now, some are like, what do you mean? Am I a cartoon? Am I unreal? No. You know Peter Pan, the boy who never grew up. Oh, he got older. I mean, because what we noticed, there was nothing I could do about 2010 coming to a close. But we get older and it's going to happen and there's nothing we can do about it. But do we ever grow up? Do we ever mature? Because you see, you can be a Christian for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You can be a Christian for a lifetime and never mature in Christ. And there are some ways to tell, and we're going to get to those in just a minute. How do you know? How do you know you're maturing? And it's going to be, it's one of those mirror, holding up a mirror moments this morning. But are we Peter Pan Christians that just, oh yeah, I'm alive and I'm getting older, but I'm never growing up. You see, the reality is that maturing, being a mature Christian, growing towards ministry, growing towards choosing the will of God over my own will, choosing the will of my God that reigns. There, you know, it is not a suggestion. You see, there are things that we have to wrap our minds around as Christians, and it's not a suggestion. God doesn't say, if you want to, if you think about it, if it becomes convenient for you, you need to mature. He's saying, this is the whole point, is that you would grow and mature and be more like Christ. And we like to throw that word around. We like to kick that term all over the place. That I'm becoming more and more like Christ, because we think about Christ as being nice and kind, and he didn't lash out at people, and he was patient and all of these things. Christ was on purpose inconvenienced his whole life. Christ was on purpose, chose discomfort. He chose the path of discomfort in ministry. On purpose. So Christ's likeness isn't simply just being nice and kind and patient. Christ's likeness is maturing towards making some choices that don't make sense according to the world. Making some choices that don't make sense according to my comfort level. It's not a suggestion. It's a reality. So how do you know? How do you know that you're maturing?
How do you know that you are growing towards this? Because that's the only time that ministry is going to happen. How do you know? Well, there's some things on the back of your order of worship, and if you want to fill in the blanks with me, that'd be great. But the first thing about how do you know you're maturing? How do you know that God's going to be able to do something, anything ministerially with your life? The first thing is you become less critical. Of what, Shane? Of everything. You become less critical because you see, babies are critical. You know how babies criticize? Wah, wah, wah. They cry. Now, they're not real specific about what they're criticizing. They're just criticizing everything. I'm criticizing the condition of my diaper. I'm criticizing my belly. I'm criticizing I'm hungry. I'm this, I'm that. But see, babies cry a lot. And what do you do? What do parents do? Parents run around. What do you need? What do you want? What do you got? How can I make your life more comfortable so in turn you'll stop making that noise, thus making my life more comfortable? But guess what? Babies grow up sometimes and they cry a lot less. You see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Oh, man. Just pretend Corinthians isn't on there yet. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Do everything without arguing or complaining. Now, what does he mean by everything? He means everything. Paul tells the Philippians, he says, look, there's going to come a point when you're in ministry. And it's going to be inconvenient, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be comfortable. And he says, it's going to call on you to complete some tasks, and you need to do it in such a way that doesn't bring attention to you. See, what's babies doing when they cry? What are they trying to bring attention to? They're themselves. They're trying to bring attention to my conditions. You see, when we perform ministry, when we are serving other people, when we are giving to other people, when we are completing tasks to the glory of God, it has nothing to do with me and everything to do with God. But if I complain about it, it now becomes about me, doesn't it? So do everything without arguing and complaining so that what you do is truly to the glory of God. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, it's already up there, but if we're going to turn there and look at it briefly. He says to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about divisions in the church. He's talking about people that just don't like each other to the point that they can't be together. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. There's jealousy. There's quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? He says, look, there are conditions of the way that you act. You know, when there's quarreling, when there's jealousy, when there's all these things, when you're just complaining, when you're critical of all of these things, any time that we're going to be critical of something of one another, think about it like this. Am I criticizing this because it is hindering ministry, or am I criticizing this because it is somehow impacting my comfort? Because ultimately, that's all that matters. Because of this activity, will more people come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ? Will more people come in contact with, you know, with Christ likeness? Or, you know, so if that's the case, then maybe I don't need to criticize it. Or is it just because of my own comfort level and my conditions? In 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, Paul challenges. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child and I believed like a child. But then I became a grown-up. He said, but then I matured and I put away all of those childish things. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, he's talking about his condition in the Lord. He's talking about his own spiritual maturity. He said, there was a point when I was like a baby in all of this, but I continued to grow. And I realized that what I thought, what I said, even what I believed, I needed to change. I needed to grow. So that ministry could happen in my life. So that I would be more of a mind to choose the way of Christ. To choose the path less comfortable. So one thing, are you less critical now than you were? First sign of maturing. Second thing we need to be, you become more productive. Maturity isn't just about the scriptures you can quote or the sitting quietly or whatever. It's not just about our understanding, growing spiritually isn't just about our understanding of scripture and being able to dissect and exegete scripture. It's about being productive. You see, immature Christians are what are called consumer Christians. Christians that simply come and consume all of the goods and services that the church offers. And we hear this all the time is that, I'm just really not getting that much out of this. You know, I'm going to go someplace where I feel like it becomes more, consumer Christians become more and more about the goods and services offered at this place versus that place, this establishment versus that one, instead about how can I produce Christ in my life to bring glory to God. Yeah, it gets always back to that glory to God part. It really does. Maturing and becoming a mature Christian, we find ourselves saying that over and over. It's about glorifying you, Lord. It's about, me just disappearing into the background. Are you a consumer Christian? In Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, that was Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read that again. I should have kept my place, shouldn't I? 11 through 16, what does he say? He who gave to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we reach all unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, us being here today even is about becoming mature. It's about being, you see, we're not about consuming the goods and services of the church. We're about being the church and producing those goods and services for those who are outside the church. Producing those goods and services so that people see us and want to be part of it. That's part of what he means by there when he says that to build up. So that the body of Christ may be built up. It isn't so that us as individuals in the body of Christ may be propped up, may be cushioned up. It isn't so that, God did not give us evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets so that the church can be comforted. It's so the church can be built. So the church can be built as it stands right now. The church is incomplete. Did you know that? The church is incomplete. And you know how I know that? Because for one, I sat right there in that seat and had the sun shining in my eyes. So I had to scooch over. See, the church is incomplete because the last time I checked, the clouds were not being rolled back as a scroll. See, when the church is complete in the fullness of Christ, He will return to take home His perfect bride, His complete church. See, until that happens, we have to build said church up, bringing in people. That's part of what that means. Building up the church. It also means building up our faith, building up our spirituality so that God is glorified in us. We become more productive. Matthew 13 and 8 says that still some seed, remember the parable of the sower? Some seed fell on this soil, some seed fell on that soil, some seed fell on the rocky, the thorny, the shallow. But then some seed in verse 8 fell on good soil and it produced a crop. See, as we mature, as we become more able, as we become more willing to produce a crop, guess what we will do? We will, in fact, produce a crop of righteousness, a crop of holiness, a crop of people that want to be a part of what we are a part of.
And the last thing, how do you know you're maturing towards ministry? You reproduce yourself. You don't just produce anything. You in fact reproduce yourself. There's a question that I want to ask. You can write this down. Is the body of Christ growing because of you? Not because because of the preacher, not because of the programs that we have. I mean, because it's real easy for us to think about the church corporately and for us to think about it as a marketing strategy kind of situation. And the way to hook in people is to bring about the right kind of programs and services. And boy, if we just could figure out and read the right books and get the right programs, and if our small groups were better, and if our children's worship was this, and if we had that, then boy, we could bring them in. This is not McDonald's, and we don't need a marketing strategy. Is the church growing because of that ministry that you are allowing God to do in your life? Because you reproduce yourself. See, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus says, look, the power of God, the power of my Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses all throughout Judea and Samaria and everything. And then in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, he says, look, as you go through your life, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go throughout your life, whether you're a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer, whether you're an engineer, an accountant, whatever you are. And as you go through life, I want you to make disciples of people. I want you to live the story. I want you to live my life in front of them so that they will ask you questions. And when they do, Peter says, be ready to tell them why you act so differently. I want you to make disciples and baptize them and all throughout there. And I'm going to be right there with you. Is the body of Christ growing because of you? If it's not, then maturity has to happen. And it's not a suggestion. And it's not something that you can, or if you want to be a Christian, you will be always maturing into the likeness of Christ, and that will be allowing more ministry. Here's the last reality that I want you to think about. What you are is what you'll reproduce. What you are, we will not, the Highland Hills Church of Christ will not reproduce Christians beyond who we are right now. If we are immature Christians, guess what? We'll reproduce immature Christians. If we're Christians stunted in our growth, then guess what we will do? We will produce Christians that are stunted in their growth. That's what Paul's talking. He says, look, if you just live on the milk, if you just live on the simple, if you just live on the easy, you will always be stunted in your Christian growth, and is all you will ever be. But you got to move on. You got to continue to grow and continue to mature and continue to be willing to be ministers. See, the reason, I think we would all agree, every one of us in this room could agree on this one thing, that God calls us to reproduce, doesn't He? God calls us to grow the church. He calls us to reproduce Christians. He says, look, that's His big plan. That's His big, the last thing He said, before He ascended, is go make disciples. The last thing He told us to do is make more of you. Simple fact is that babies cannot reproduce. They can't. Babies can't have babies. You need people to grow up. You need people to move beyond the stage of infancy in Christ, so that reproduction can happen. It's a simple fact of biology. It's a simple fact of spirituality. The only problem is that you can't live physically 50 years or 60 years or however without maturing physically for the most part. But Satan has sold us a bill of lies. Satan has convinced us that we can be members of a church, we can be Christians for a number of years without ever maturing spiritually. Oh, we'll call it maturity, We'll call it, but it never reproduces anything worthwhile for the kingdom. Now, this morning's sermon is a call to maturity. This morning's sermon is a call to ministry. Because ministry will never happen until we, on purpose, with passion and with joy in our hearts, choose the path of Christ. And it's a path that is uncomfortable, and it is inconvenience. It will cost you money. It will cost you time. It will cost you your very life. And you will not choose it lest you mature. Without maturing, we will not choose it. And Jesus has a beautiful quote, a beautifully haunting, tragic quote. He says, many will come to me on that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't I drive out demons? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I prophesy in your name? And he will say, away from me, I never knew you. You see, you weren't me. You weren't a minister. You didn't choose the path that I chose. You said some things and you did some things, but I never knew you. I never want to stand before you and tell you a lie. I never want to stand before you and present the call less than it truly is. This morning, it's a call to be mature. Let's make 2011 the year that we endeavor to be more mature and say, you know what, I'm going to criticize each other less. I'm going to stop crying. I'm going to stop crying, and I'm going to start producing in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to mature so that I can reproduce other mature Christians, so that I can take people that have been immature, that have been stunted in their growth, and I'm going to pull them, kicking and screaming, by the way, into maturity so that together we can conduct ministry on behalf of God to His glory. What do you say? What do you say? Can we do that as the body of Christ? For some of us, it will start with proclaiming Christ as our Savior and Lord. For some, it will be saying, you know what, I've never confessed Christ as my Lord. I want to confess Him as Lord and be baptized and start the process of being more like Christ. Choosing His path. Choosing the ministry of Christ. I want to start there. If that's the case, please, while we're going to sing a song, all you do is come forward and confess Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you can be baptized, have your sins forever washed away. For some, it might be, you know what, I've been immature and I want to grow. I need the prayers of the church to grow towards maturity, to mature towards ministry. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.